Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Friday Q&A, and I've taken all the questions from my Instagram. So if you're not following my Instagram, Brian_Keane_fitness, or just type in Brian Keane Fitness into the people, it'll bring up my Instagram. I've taken all today's questions from my Instagram, and I've been doing a lot more with Instagram stories recently, and I've been on Instagram a lot over the last couple of weeks, so a lot of my content has been kind of native to that. So I've taken the questions from there for today. So first question comes in from KeenGeenie3. Hey Brian, any tips for a young entrepreneur trying to make it in the, he says, the stockbroker world, but any business world in general? Okay, the main tips I'd offer a young entrepreneur would be to go and get yourself a mentor. If I could go back and give myself advice, particularly when I started my business first and I was making the transition from an employee full-time working as a primary school teacher to starting my own business, if I had taken some of that money that I spend on stupid shit like business cards and equipment when I should have been going out getting a mentor or buying books that would have supported me, that would have cut my journey and my learning curve down way more than the actual path that I took. It took me nearly 3 attempts to get my business off the ground. I was teaching part-time, and then I was teaching full-time, and I was working as a personal trainer part-time, and then I made the transition out, tried to start personal training full-time. My business collapsed completely, and then I had to go back teaching. I had to make a second attempt, and it wasn't until my 3rd attempt when I moved home back to Ireland and moved in with my mum and dad, got my sister's little Yaris, went on social welfare, and was able to build back up and get my business off the ground that I was able to get it going. It's funny because perseverance is probably one of the most effective things that a person or a young entrepreneur or business person can have. I think in life in general, perseverance, because the storms, when you can weather a storm, you always come out stronger the other side. But anyone that starts their business, you may not make it work the first time. Like, I love the story of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Colonel Sanders. And I think he was in his 70s when he finally got KFC off the ground. He had ran hotel chains before that. They'd been collapsed and bankrupt. He brought his recipe to so many different restaurants and nobody would take it until he knocked on the 101st or 102nd door and somebody was like, okay, we'll try this. We'll give you a shot. We'll try your chicken recipe. And, you know, c'est la vie. He's now KFC, and he was one of, you know, the richest people in the world at one stage because of his brand, his chain, and his franchise. So perseverance and knowing that failure is something that happens and isn't something that you are, and understanding that if you make an attempt to go into the stockbroker world or into your own business world and you fail, that's just something that's happened. That's not who you are. Failing and failure are two completely different things. And when you can change and shift your perspective that everything failed is just a way to learn and another way to learn. Like, I know everything that I do now is seen as an experiment. And if it doesn't work, it's just an experiment that didn't work and I learned one other way that didn't work. You know, it took Thomas Edison over 1,000 attempts or 10,000 attempts to invent the light bulb. And he was just, his famous quote is, I just found 9,999 ways that didn't work. You know, it's a case of being persevering through on whatever the path or journey it is. Like, that translates and transcends into all aspects of life, whether you're trying to get into better shape, whether you're trying to get into a better relationship, whether you're trying to, you know, start your own business or get into a new job. That perseverance and seeing circumstances and things that happen as one part of the journey, and the failure is just part of the process, and you are not a failure, you are just trying one thing that didn't work, that's going to support you better than anything else. I personally have learned a lot of that from different books that I've read. A lot of stuff by Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's business partner. Poor Charlie's Almanac is one of my favorite books of all time. He's 3rd or 4th richest man in the world. And there's a great quote from Ty Lopez, who's also helped me a lot on my mentorship journey, where he speaks of that if you learn 1% from the top person in the world, he goes, even learning 1% of what they know, you're going to do better than 99.9% of people. And it's a great way to actually build a business or build anything in a life. Go to the very, very top. If you want to be the very best soccer player in the world, mimic Ronaldo and Messi. If you want to be the very best business person in the world, mimic Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, people that have created eBay, Amazon, Microsoft and Berkshire Hathaway, which owns most of Coca-Cola for Warren Buffett, go to the very top and learn from these people. You know, you'll learn from me, you'll learn from other people, but you use the rule of 1%, you're going to get incredible things by going to the very, very top of the industry. And always listen to people who you would switch places with. If I had a euro for every time I've had a friend or a family member be like, well, Jane or Jack said I should do this. And I was like, would you change places with Jane or Jack? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, why the fuck are you listening to them? You know, if they're giving you advice on a relationship or giving you advice on business and you wouldn't switch positions with them, then you need to take everything they say with a grain of salt. You can learn from everybody, but do not hedge all of your opinions and everything that you do on somebody's opinion who you wouldn't switch places with. So that's probably the biggest advice I could give. I learned that from different mentors, from reading different books, and then those philosophies, perseverance, the way you see failure, and then not listening to people that you wouldn't switch places with, or not listening to them, but not applying and taking everything they say as gospel when you wouldn't switch positions with them, is probably the best advice I could give any young entrepreneur. Okay, next question from Aiden Hopkins, 21. Yo, Brian, any tips on how to get a girl to text you back? Seriously, does mindset come into it when texting a girl? Okay, there's a great book I'd love you to read, Aiden. It's called Attached. I can't remember the name of the author, but he talks about that there's three different types of people in relationships. There's the people that are secure, who are very, very okay with themselves. They don't need to be told they look pretty all the time. They don't need to be detached from you. They're very secure in relationships, or they're very secure in themselves when going into a relationship first. Then you've got people that are dependent, where he speaks of that their main strategy that they feel is they need that security from somebody else, and that they seek out, you know, it's that person. And we've all met those guys or girls that feel like they're texting you 100 times a day, or they're always on to you because they need that gratification from you to make sure that everything's okay in the relationship or the first couple of dates or whatever it is. That tends to be their psychological makeup. And then there's the third type, which is the avoidant, whereas the people that are very detached from relationships, for whatever reason, they are able to go weeks without speaking to somebody and just completely detach themselves and compartmentalize their thinking in terms of, well, I'm not with that person now, I don't need to think about them. So that book gave me a lot of understanding in terms of relationships and in terms of how to deal with myself. I was very much a detached, avoidant person. Now you can work and change your psychological makeup when you're aware of them, and you want to obviously become secure. And the statistic makeup of the study that they did with, I think it was 1,000 people, was that 50% of people were secure, and then the split was 25-25 between the other two. So it sounds like possibly this girl may be an avoidant, and you may want to read that book and see where you fall on that scale, because if you're finding that you're sending text after text after text, you may be somebody that's dependent, and is going to completely set off somebody that has an avoidant personality type. You'll get away with that with somebody that's secure because they're able to see through each side. But they say that in the psychology research in this book speaks that when an avoidant and a dependent person come together, that you're asking for a lot of trouble in that relationship. You can change your psychological makeup, and they do give you strategies and tips in that book. In terms of getting her to text back, it may be worth trying to provide more value to her. It's funny because business and relationships aren't that different. And when I say value, I don't mean monetary. I don't mean buy her things. I mean provide value, as in, why would she want to hang out with you? Are you fun to hang out with? Do you make her laugh? Does she enjoy your company? That's providing value. You know, it's funny. My Paul, who came through my mentorship program, had a great quote that we talked about when we were doing his business plan at one stage. And it's always stuck with me that he said that a relationship is just a best friendship with sexual attraction. So you want to find somebody else that you have that friendship and connection with, where you provide them value and they provide you value, either through being a yin and a yang, you know, where they make you laugh, they make you feel comfortable, they make you feel good about themselves, and you provide something similar or equivalent to them, and then building your relationship around that. But I definitely recommend reading that book Attached, because it's very good at getting your head around where you're at. And then when you meet people, you're able to kind of put them into, even though we shouldn't compartmentalize people, it's just another thing that we do with categorizing people. But in terms of your own understanding of your makeup and how other people are wired, it's good to give you a very base understanding, and it may help you get more people to text you back. Next question. What are the benefits of box squats as opposed to regular squats? Owen 94. It really depends on the goals. Like, there's so many different ways to squat and the angle in which you have your feet, whether you're wide, narrow, toes slightly pointed in, slightly out, you're going to hit a different part of the quad or a different part of the glute. And going box squats as opposed to regular squats is kind of just a different way to hit the angle. I personally love box squats for my athletes and people that are in my GA Lean Body program or my athlete program. I normally have them doing box squats because what happens is you're able to go a slow negative down. You can kill the momentum at the bottom of a move and then explode up. So you're going to mimic how you take off in a game. So if you're used to, if you're in a sport where you sprint from a standstill position, you can mimic that through a box squat by dropping in, holding yourself on the box and then exploding up. So it works to mimic off firing those glute muscles, particularly if you've done a pre-activation or you have a program that's based around getting your glutes to fire. As you drop in, you're going to get your glutes to fire better, and it can help with things like taking off on a sprint or a jump overall. So again, it doesn't really matter in terms of which one you're using. It's very much focused on what your goals are and then building the best squatting technique into that. It's the same with the actual tempo and tension range you work within. Like, a slow negative and explosive power is going to be great for an athlete. A slow negative and a controlled positive with a squeeze through the top or a squeeze through the bottom, depending on what version of the squat you're doing and whether you're using a barbell or a kettlebell or a dumbbell or a machine, you're going to contract and work for different tension ranges, which may tear more fibers. So if you're trying to hypertrophy a muscle, you might be better to work for more tension on a different variation of a squat as opposed to going slow negative and fast positive on a barbell box squat, which is going to work better for explosiveness for an athlete. Hey everyone, I want to say a massive thank you for downloading this podcast. I hope you got loads of value from today's episode. For more information on my BKF online program, just send me an email, brian@briankeenfitness.com, or head over to the website or Facebook, Brian Keen Fitness, and just send me a message. The online program is everything you need to get into incredible shape. Whether you're a guy looking to build muscle and lose body fat, or a girl looking to drop a couple of dress sizes and just flatten out her stomach, the program gives you everything you need. It's my only online program where I track and monitor the first 50 people that sign up, and it has everything that you need in terms of training, a beginner program, intermediate program, or a pro or advanced for anyone that's at a high training level, and a nutritional plan with everything you need to get into incredible shape. All the recipes, macro calculations, and systems that you need based around your goals. You'll also go into that group where I can work with you and you can ask me questions back and forth, where we do a Q&A every single week, on top of having one of my coaches work with you Monday to Friday throughout the entire 6 weeks. So for more information on that, just send me a message, and thanks again for downloading the episode. Okay, next question from Sharon Coffee Gal. Hey Brian, I've trouble staying consistent with food, with work, family stuff. It's good for a few days and then bad for a few days. Any tips? Okay, this is something that affects a lot of people. Most people that come through my online program have some variation of having an issue with staying consistent, because for it doesn't matter what level you're at, whether you're just beginning your journey on fitness or you're a highly advanced trainer, staying consistent can be tricky because of family commitments, work commitments, life commitments in general. The key that I find working with people, and the same with my own life, is finding a program and plan that fits into your lifestyle and schedule and then adapting that to your life. Like, the key is, if you are somebody that's very short on time because of work and family commitments, you're going to be better doing training style programs from home that focuses on higher intensity if you're trying to lose body fat. So you're getting your heart rate up, you're tearing more fibers down, so you're elevating metabolism, but you're also working at 70% or higher of your max heart rate. So you're in your fat burning zone, and you're able to do that from the comfort of your own home, in your bedroom, with some weights, with some dumbbells, or with some just body weights. If you check out some of my Facebook Live workouts, I just use body weight, and those workouts kill me. And when I'm traveling so much, they're the ones that I'll do in hotel rooms, and I'll do when I'm traveling, because sometimes I can't get access to a gym. So you need to make your gym program or your training program fit around your lifestyle. If you've got a very, very busy lifestyle, you may be better just to buy a set of dumbbells and have a program that's built around training at home, so that you can do a 20 to 40 minute workout 3 to 4 times a week, and that's your training covered. When it comes to nutrition, then, what I find happens to a lot of people is, and I fell victim of this when I used to work full-time as a primary school teacher, and a lot of people that come through my online program have a similar issue, is that you're able to stay on track Monday to Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday comes, and when the routine of the normal working week goes out the window, so does your nutrition, and so does your healthy eating, or so does the plan that you're following. What I have found has worked very well for me and other people that I've worked with is two things. One, making sure that you get your first meal of the day right, which sets you up for the entire day. If you're following a program, say for example, my online program where you're eating every 2.5-3 hours to keep blood sugar stable, and you're eating breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack, or whatever layout that may look for you, it varies person to person depending on their lifestyle, but assuming you're off the weekends, that allows you to keep a little bit of routine at the weekend, and you nearly have to manufacture a routine around the weekend. Another thing that I found works very, very well for me and several people actually in my recent group, because I have Q&As back and forth, and I know those people, I have a lot of business people in this last group, and they were saying that they fell off at weekends. So building your routine and nutrition around your training session on that day. So for example, if you train on a Saturday and Sunday, if you get your first meal right, you have to get your pre-workout meal right so you're able to train, and then your post-workout meal right because that's after you work out. That's three of your meals. So as long as you're snacking either side and you've got a little bit of snacks either side of that, you're going to be staying on track with your nutrition in terms of keeping your blood sugar stable, keeping your energy levels up, and eating the right foods. What can happen on weekends is if you miss that first meal, your blood sugar is going to be out of set and you end up reaching for snacks and biscuits and sugary foods later on the day because your blood sugar levels are out of whack. Or if you aren't training on that day, you can get bored and end up snacking out of pure boredom, which is something that I've done. So it's something I can recognize in people, and it's a problem because you're just bored at weekends and you don't have the same structure routine and you end up just picking at snacks. I did that for years when I worked as a primary school teacher, and I had to manufacture my entire day so that I wasn't falling off track at weekends. The truth is, if you're getting the week perfect and you're getting all your meals in, you're getting good training sessions in, being a little more lenient at the weekend is going to be fine. It's only when you go off completely is when you're going to start trying to climb back up on Monday, and then your Monday and Tuesday trying to get rid of the water weight and get back to feeling normal because you feel horrible because you've overeaten at the weekend or you've binged on certain foods. And then by Wednesday and Thursday, you're back on track, and then Friday comes and you're back into the same routine again on a Saturday. So it's very important that if that's a cycle that's continuing for you, that you try and fix that and manufacture your own training system around the weekend or nutritional strategy around the weekend so that you're not falling off. Next question from Bergen Keith 10. Brian, I have a few big events coming up the next few weekends in a row. I know that there will be a lot of alcohol consumed at some of these. What can I do before or after to decrease the damage done? Okay, the first thing I would do, Keith, is get your hands on some milk thistle, which is a liver detoxifier. It's a supplement you can get in nearly any health store. And what I would do is over the weekends, the day before, the day of, and the day after you plan to go drinking, make sure you're taking full dose of milk thistle 2-3 times a day to make sure that your liver is constantly detoxifying itself so that you don't get that buildup of alcohol, which will slow down your progress in terms of fat loss or muscle building. What I have people in my online program do, and again, the strategy varies person to person. It's why I work back and forth with people in the groups. But I find doing your hardest training session the day you plan to go out drinking that night, and then the next morning doing fasted cardio. The reason for that is if you can make yourself super insulin sensitive and you do your hardest training session on the Saturday and you reduce back your carbohydrate intake so you've got plenty of veg, plenty of protein, you just factor your alcohol in as your free meal. For example, in my online program, there's a free meal in there every week, and you can just factor in the alcohol into that. Obviously, it's not ideal. I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with alcohol because it does hinder your body's ability to build muscle or burn fat. You will not do either while there's alcohol in your system and while you're detoxifying yourself from alcohol. But on the flip side, in terms of the energy chain that your body uses, it goes to the front of the queue. So breaking it down in simplest terms, your body will use glucose, which is like the carbs you've eaten, you know, that day, your body muscle glycogen, which is the carbs you've eaten over the last few days, and your body fat. In the simplest terms, that's how your body will use its energy source. It'll pull from those three. What happens with alcohol, it goes right to the front of the queue. So it goes ahead of glucose. So it puts another wall in front of your barrier of actually taking away body fat. That's why it's so hard to lose body fat if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, because you're going to use it as a current energy source. It's the reason that when you train or go for a run or do some exercise the morning after a night out, you feel like you're sweating alcohol because your body is using it as an energy source. So what I find works really well is doing your hardest training session the night you plan to go out, and then the next day doing some fasted cardio, some low intensity cardio for 20-30 minutes where you're burning through the alcohol and trying to get your body back into that normal glucose, glycogen, body fat range so that your energy system is back on its normal homeostatic state, so your normal way of burning through fuel. The reason I don't do the hardest session the next day is because you're at a massively higher increase of risking injury when you have alcohol in your system like that because of dehydration, because of muscle weakness. Also, you won't be that strong. Like trying to do a hard training session with alcohol in your system is kind of like trying to run your car on water. It'll go for a little bit because there'll be some leftover petrol and diesel, but you're going to break down shortly after. So alcohol is very, very similar. So that's why I like that strategy. And then eating clean foods that day, because the truth is it's not the alcohol that sets people back massively. It's actually the fast food and the takeaways and the trans fatty acids and the tubs of ice cream the next day because your serotonin levels are low, you're tired, you need sugar in your brain, your glucose in your brain because you haven't slept, because alcohol can affect your REM sleep and all of these things. They're what can set you back. So if you only go out and have a few drinks, or even if you have a good few drinks and you have your nutrition on point the next day and you do your fasted cardio and then you're right back on your normal training and nutrition plan on Monday, you're going to minimize damage over the next month or so with all those events. And it's just the food you need to watch out for, because that's what really sets people back. It's the fast food, the takeaways at the end of the night, and the pizzas and the ice cream the next day when you're feeling horrible. That's what can set you back more so than the alcohol. Okay, last question from Coleman Powell. Brian, sex drive completely reduced on a low carb diet, anything to help increase it? So what happens normally with a lot of guys on a low carb, low calorie diet is when your body stops producing your optimal amount of testosterone, you can have a massive decrease in sex drive. There's a couple of ways to hack this. Carbohydrates don't really have a direct impact on sex drive. They'll have a little bit of impact in terms of your muscle glycogen and your body being able to use other fats and other sources that you eat for optimal hormone level. But the truth is you can drop your carbs really, really low and not have an impact your sex drive, assuming your fats are high enough that you're getting enough zinc and you're getting enough of the different vitamins and minerals that your body needs in order to keep its testosterone high. So there's a couple of things you can do to hack that. What I would trial first is making a majority of your calories from fats and protein, even while your carbs are low, making sure you're getting things like pumpkin seeds in that have a higher level in zinc. You're using maca, things like that, that have been shown as Peruvian sex boosters if you read any of the historical facts on things like maca, and start adding them into your smoothies and adding them into your shakes. That's going to start bumping up your natural testosterone levels. There's also the supplements that are very worth looking into. Tribulus, if you can get your hands on real organic tribulus, that is a very potent testosterone booster in men as well, and zinc, but which you can get from different seeds and different powders, but you can also just supplement with zinc back in. So number one is going to be making sure that you're getting your fats up, and then number two is going to be adding in your supplements that are going to support testosterone levels in the body. My recommendations are going to be tribulus and zinc. D-aspartic acid is pretty good as well. 3 grams pre-workout and first thing in the morning can also bring up your testosterone levels. But normally I found with a lot of my guys who have came to me with similar issues, when they say my sex drive is way down because my calories or carbs are too low, once I found out that their fats came back up, they actually found that their sex drive went back to normal, if not increased slightly, because certain supplements, like I use the Revolution Maca, it's an actual supplement that I use, and I find that it's it's one of those that you're probably better to use when you are on a low sex drive, because you take it when you're feeling normal, it can send you into hyperdrive a small bit. So it's one that's worth looking into. I'll try and link that in the show notes as well. The Revolution Maca, it's a great product. So hopefully that helps, and best of luck with that. Okay, a massive thank you for everybody for listening. For more information about me, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. If you want any more information on my BKF 90 program or my GA Lean Body program, you'll get all the information on there. And you can sign up to my newsletter if you want to get my weekly blog. Also on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all Brian Keen Fitness. And my Snapchat, BrianK019, which is probably my most active platform at the minute, where you can ask me questions back and forth, and I do a Q&A every day. So thanks again for listening, guys. And thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic for editing the episode and putting it all together. Anyone who wants to get a podcast done, definitely check Cullum out over at Voxonic. Thanks again. Catch you guys soon.